would like to invite you over to the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18 reads this way. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you again, Lord, for the privilege of having the freedom to gather together in your name and to call upon you and to open up your word, the word of God, the truth, Lord, that we might understand more about the salvation that you've given to us. And then, Lord, if there's one or more than one that does not know you as Savior, that you might speak to their hearts through the gospel and allow them to see their need to know you as well as their Savior. Bless your word, Lord. Bless your people. May you be honored and glorified and our lives blessed. And we'll thank you, for we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is simply "The Birth of Jesus Christ." A lot can be said about the birth of Jesus Christ. In fact, sadly to say, there's a lot that's not said about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, there are a lot of people on planet Earth, believe it or not, that believe that he's a fictional character, never existed, never came to Earth, never died on the cross, and never rose again from the dead. In fact, in their minds, all of that is a fiction. And yet there are, praise the Lord, archaeological artifacts that have been found concerning biblical truths all throughout, really, the last couple of hundred years that they've been discovering. And we thank the Lord for that. But even more important than that, there is a relationship that God wants to have with everyone that will seek him, specifically his children. He wants us to experience his grace that we might be the witnesses of that. But if we're not asking him for that grace, we don't have a whole lot to be a witness of. We could be a servant that took our treasure and did nothing with it. We just buried it. We got eternal life. I've got it. I know I've got that. But we're not experiencing the other things that God wants to do, that he might multiply, that we might put our faith in it and invest in it and call on the Lord to experience his grace. And let me kind of just tell you a little bit how the Lord works. If you'll remember the story of Elijah, when there was no rain for 3.5 years, rain was a precious commodity, was it not? Water was a precious commodity. And so he was challenging the prophets. There was 850, there's 400, I think, and 50 prophets of Baal and these other false prophets. And so he got them all together there and had them go ahead and call on their gods. And you know the story, nothing came. The God that answers by fire, we're going to let him be God. Here's the crazy thing. They agreed to it. They agreed to it. Now, wait a minute. We laugh at that. They weren't fools. They were foolish in their own eyes, but see, they experienced something in their relationship with Baal, the devil, that they believed that there was going to be fire, that he was going to bring fire down from heaven and burn the sacrifice. I don't think there was 850 foolish people that said, I've never seen anything, so I have no basis to put my faith in that. Why do people put their faith in darkness? Because they've seen darkness do things for them and entrap them, in fact, enslave them. But there are things that the devil will give in exchange for their soul, right? There are people that do pray to be famous to the devil, and the devil does answer. I mean, there's their testimony. In case you haven't heard it, look it up. And I'm not trying to promote this, but many years ago, John Dillon was on a 60-minute interview, and I can't remember who the interviewer was, but he told him, I made a pact. I'm trying to keep my end of the deal. And basically, he spelled it out. He sold his soul that he might have this fame and fortune in life on this side with the devil. So we listen. Let's be careful that we don't laugh at the power that God says exists as well. But that power is to destruction and death. And so there are people that put their faith in that. And then also there is godly people who put their faith in the truth and the Lord. And they also should be experiencing some things. But what happens here is the prophets of Baal do not, the god Baal does not answer. And so Elijah tells them, okay, put all this water on that sacrifice. So he was really going to be in trouble if God didn't answer, because he would just waste all that water that they didn't have for 3.5 years.
We've experienced droughts before, amen? And they're a tough thing, but can you imagine a drought for 3.5 years? What would that do to everything? Our food, our livestock, all of that, right? And so this is where they're at. And what happens at the end? God answers and burns the sacrifice, evaporates all of that water. The Bible says licks it all up. It's all gone. And then there's no rain still, right? There's no rain. He tells Ahab, listen, go prepare yourself. God's going to send rain. Now, how did he have that confidence? Where did that come from? See, we won't do anything by faith unless we prove God by faith, unless we see it. So what happens is, he says, the rain's coming. How does he know that? Well, because he saw God stop the rain. He saw God provide for him when the food was drying up. He was prepared. He was provided for. And then also, when the brook dried up, he was also still again provided for. God said, okay, now it's time to move, and I'm going to provide for you over here. So what happens? He says, listen, I can hear the abundance of rain. It's coming. It's coming. Nobody is seeing or hearing anything. So he prays and he prays and he tells his servant, go over by the sea and tell me what you see. And he came back and you know what the report was? He says, I don't see anything. I see nothing. And so he quit and went home, right? No. So he says, go again 7 times. That took some time to travel back and forth 7 times. The servant of Elijah also had seen God working in Elijah's life and knew that the God of Elijah was the one and true God. So that fellow went back 7 times and he says, now what do you see? I see a small cloud like a man's hand. And then he says, it's coming. It's going to come down. But what if he would have quit? Even with Elijah, God was proving his faith as he will yours and mine. And so we must be persistent, even if we don't see the rain the first time, to call upon the Lord. Isn't that what the Lord asks us to do? But if we're not careful, we won't ask God for anything because he's not working the way that we think he should work. But God is saying, listen, ask and ask and ask. And when do you quit? When he answers your prayer. At least let him know that, listen, will God answer every one of your prayers? He will answer every one of your prayers. It might not be the answer that you want, but didn't Paul ask the Lord 3 times for the what was it called? The thorn in the flesh to be removed? And God did answer him, didn't he? It wasn't the answer that he thought it was, but he said, in your weakness, I'm going to be made strong. You're going to see I'm going to be honored and glorified in this particular case. But the Lord answered many of his prayers, did he not? And so we need to be content and to know this, Lord, I'm going to call upon you not until I think you've answered me, but until I know you have given me the answer. God wants us to have that kind of a relationship with him that we know, or we will be wishy-washy Christians, tossed to and fro with everything that you hear coming down the line, right? Coming down the airwaves of my goodness, how many airwaves do we have going on today? All kinds of information flying everywhere. And please, with all that going on, don't get distracted. That's the devil's ploy to keep us from reading the Word of God, to keep us all going about in all different kinds of 100 directions, right? And missing out on the Word of God. They're traveling to and fro, Daniel says, right? And there's knowledge, that's all that's out there, but they're not learning a whole lot. And they're the ones that are going to be deceived. And we have that same situation. God is not saying that we shouldn't be informed, but that we should not neglect our relationship with him and standing and looking to him as the author and finisher of our faith. So let's consider a couple of things this morning as we consider the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he wants you and I to know, and that he wants you and I also to experience. And that is some important details. We'll look at that first of all. We'll notice a humble decision. We'll look at the Lord's wisdom, and then we'll look at a life of God-honoring faith or trust in our relationship with the Lord. Look with me back in verse 18, and notice this as we read this in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, this is important, they were engaged here. And it typically was a year-long engagement. They were considered married, right? And they were not to consummate the marriage until the ceremony, which would take about a year to make all these different preparations. So Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. So this is letting you know that they did not come together. This is an important truth because they called the Lord Jesus Christ born of fornication. That was a slam. In other words, before they were married, Mary and Joseph committed fornication, which would have really, he would not have been the son of God. He would have been the son of Joseph, but he was not the son of Joseph. He was the son of God. And so it says, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is something that's important, and that is that only Mary knew this at this particular point until the angel dealt with Joseph, all right? So here is Mary, given this truth, a young lady who knows, listen, what's going on? Do you think she ever anticipated, what will people say? See, we overlooked that. She knew that if she was going to be expecting a child a year before she's getting married, she knows that probably in about 3 to 6 months, she's going to be showing. And people are going to be talking, because that's what human beings do, right? Because we spread gossip sometimes. Naturally speaking, we spread things. And so she probably anticipated this is not going to look well. This is not going to look right. But more important than what people were going to see was her commitment to her God, even though she anticipated possibly some persecution. You and I also, if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we also will experience some persecution. Maybe some. Oh, you're one of them. Oh, you're one of those uneducated individuals that have to lean on a crutch, or you want to look this way, or you believe in that, right? Well, tell me, is it not better than what they're believing in? They don't even, what do you believe? Well, we believe everything came from a rock. Yeah, that's intelligent, isn't it? And it all made itself perfectly, you know? And they all talk about how intelligent all of the designs are. The human eye, just take the human eye for itself. And amazing how that functions and works, and how because of it, you and I can see. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Oh, but that just created itself. All the components just came together just right, you know, just like an explosion in an ink shop would create the dictionary, right? Just blow up an ink shop. I mean, there's ink and there's letters in there. Blow it up. It'll all fall together. That's so intelligent, isn't it? And listen, there's no doubt in my mind, and I hope none in yours, that there is a God in heaven who created all things, including you and I, that everybody will stand before one day. And it's on the horizon. Amen. All right. So Mary knew these things. And by the way, do you think she possibly thought, what will my espoused betrothed husband think? Right? Because now it's got to pass him too. So we find this truth, this spiritual truth that God gave to her, as God gives to you and I spiritual truths, that sometimes we're the only ones that know about it. And so let's consider this humble decision, and this is an opportunity really to reveal a God who honors mercy. Look at verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Pray tell, listen, he's wanting to put her away. So what is he thinking? What is he thinking? She's not been faithful. She's not been. Has this ever happened before in history? Mm-hmm. Nor since. Here she is. This woman had no human being interact with her, and now she is expecting a child. Never has happened, and never since that time. So he says, I'm not going to make a spectacle out of her. I've got the right. I could say, look at her. I've been faithful. She's been unfaithful. And remember, listen, we look back on this, but this has never happened before. And he is trying to take this all in without no information, without any information at the moment from the Lord. Possibly Mary said, look, Joseph, I want to tell you something that's never happened before. Huh? How about if a woman did that today? Right. So you got to remember, this has never happened before. That I believe they were godly people. They had the right lineage. And so he probably wanted to believe this, but obviously he was looking to put her away privately so he wouldn't make a spectacle out. Listen, he was directing towards putting her away, dissolving the relationship. This is not good. This is not going to work. And so he's really revealing mercy. That's a merciful heart. He could have taken it personal. I think he did take it personal. But I believed he loved Mary. And I believed he really didn't understand. Maybe Mary had told him some of what happened and wanted to believe it but couldn't. But he says, I got to put you away. He was going to put her away. And so he was revealing mercy. It's a humble decision. But then the Lord steps in to fill in the blanks. And sometimes, listen, in fact, all the time, when we're in a situation, the Lord doesn't always come up with the answer for us right away. Let me ask you a question. Does the Lord know the answer? Not answers. He knows the answer for you. He knows the answer for me. When the Israelites were fleeing Egypt and Pharaoh and his chariots were after him and they're going towards the Red Sea, did the Lord know the answer? Wait a minute, Moses didn't know it yet. He was just following the Lord. See, you got to realize he's going over here to the sea as well. And the Bible says that he says, listen, don't fear. The Lord's going to intervene. The Lord speaks out and says to Moses, while Moses is talking to the people, the Lord says to Moses, why are you crying after me like this? He says, tell the people to move forward. Inside, Moses was battling with his faith. That's okay. It is okay. Why? Because that's when the natural and the spiritual come together, and the natural says, that doesn't make any sense. There's a struggle. That's okay. There's a natural struggle. But then what are we going to do with that struggle? Are we going to surrender to the flesh or to the Spirit of God and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to take the next step. I trust you in this. It makes absolutely no sense that you're asking us to move towards an ocean and we're surrounded on both sides by mountains. We're stuck. And Moses said, stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. But yet he was struggling with it at the same time. That's a good thing to know. So if you struggle with it, you're in a good place. But what are you going to rely on? What God is saying or what you're feeling? Because if we lean on what we're feeling and how we feel, that's not faith. We trust the Lord in spite of how I feel, and we move forward. And then what does God do? He opens up. He provides the answer. So he sees what Joseph is getting ready to do. And verse 20 says, but while he thought on these things, so at least you know it's in the planning stage, right? I got to put her away. He hasn't done anything yet, but he's thinking, I got to put her away. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. He probably cried himself to sleep that night. He was engaged to be married to his love. And it was falling apart right in front of him. And probably cried himself to sleep, expecting to wake up the next day with the same dismal outlook. But the Lord intervenes. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. This is something that God did for Joseph, that there was no doubt in the heart and mind of Joseph who was talking to him. He was not thinking, I ate pizza too late last night. He knew it was the Lord that was giving him. Listen, just like you know you're saved, I hope you have that kind of confirmation. I hope you know the Lord did a work in your life. Nobody's going to change your mind on that. And so he had this understanding as well. And the Lord says, listen, I want you to know that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now listen, Back in those days, they had no way of telling what the baby was going to be. So they didn't know. So the Lord was saying, she's going to have a son. And he's giving him the details of what they're going to do with this son. And you'll see later on that that's what took place. So he says, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Right? All right. So here we find the Lord confirming and intervening on his behalf so that he'll continue by faith to follow through with the plan of God. It was God's plan for Joseph to marry Mary. And so here they are. He's saying, I want to make sure that you're going to continue through. And then he says this. The prophet said this. In fact, verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? Being interpreted is God with us. God, not this idea, oh yeah, God's with me. Oh no, no, no. God is going to be physically on earth. Listen, Emmanuel, he is God incarnate. And so he's taking all this in. Listen, there's no doubt in my mind he knew he was in the presence of the Lord as he was receiving all of this information. He had a personal communion with the Lord, wouldn't you say? That was life-changing and exciting. Listen, it was going to enable him to go through. He needed that. Why? Because do you think he heard maybe once again, yeah, this is Joseph, you know, his espoused wife that was pregnant before they got married, you know this guy here? Yeah, that son right there. You see that little 12-year-old boy? Yeah, he might be pretty good with the lawyers, but you remember who they are? You think he heard that more than once? And you know what he had to revert back to? God's revelation. God gave him a personal revelation that enabled him to stand strong and do what was right. And so here's the Lord's wisdom. Here's the Lord building his faith. That's what God wants to do. Listen, God gave Joseph, did he not? A faith-building revelation. God wants to do, when you pray, it is an opportunity for God to give you and I a faith-building revelation. You know what the problem is? Unbelief is always the problem. Unbelief will never get us off the ground. God says, listen, I want you to follow me. I'll lead the way. You just trust me. You just trust me and start calling on me. But what if I ask for the wrong things? Join the club. God will redirect. Give him the opportunity to speak to you through his word, to speak to you through your spirit that he's indwelt you with. He'll let you know. How did Paul know that God wasn't going to remove the thorn in the flesh? How did God have that confidence? Not only did he say, listen, the Lord told him that through that thorn in the flesh, whatever it was, God was going to be glorified. And Paul was satisfied with that. Paul didn't say, now, let me come up with this idea because this answer is taking too long. God's usually a little faster with this. And so, you know what, I guess God wants me just to keep it because in my weakness, I'm going to be made strong. How long will that keep you? Not another minute. But if God lets me know that he is telling me this, just like he told me I'm a child of the King, just like he told me that I've been born again, just like he told me that my name's been written in heaven, I've got something to stand on. But without that, what are we? If God does not reveal to you that you possess eternal life, but that you're just doing the right thing and saying the right thing, I wouldn't want to be, and God doesn't want us to be in that situation. God says, I'm giving you a substantiated faith that causes you to be a witness of God's great grace. We just need to be willing to walk by faith. My goodness, if faith was ever needed in any time in history, how about today? How about today? So we find here the Lord's wisdom. He gives a confirming intervention. He intervenes on behalf. Listen, Joseph was getting ready to put her away. And God says, listen, it was God's idea. That's not what I want you to do. Did God substantiate in the heart and mind of Joseph that that's not what he wanted him to do? Did God see to it that he did what was that God did what was needed in Joseph's life so he wouldn't do it because in his mind he'd already had it set to put her away privately? Did God do something for Joseph that allowed him to understand that was not the plan? Do you think God is the same yesterday and today and forever? The problem, I dare say, is that we don't exercise enough faith to get before the Lord and call on Him. Brother George, you don't understand. It's hard for me to pray. Well, why might that be? Well, because I can't get on my knees. I think God will hear you in your chair. Lord, Brother George, I can't do this. I can't. The Lord hears. All He said was call. You see how we complicate things? Well, we get things in our minds and God says, that's not what I said. You've got to do this and you've got to do that. Just start calling on the Lord. That's what God's called His people to do, to call on Him. He gives Joseph a faith-building revelation. God wants to give you and I a faith-building revelation. Did Jesus by chance tell the disciples that the world hated Him? And did the Lord also say, because it hated Him, it's going to hate you? Amen. Do you think God knows we need something from Him so that we can work through the hatred of the world? Question, does the world hate Christians today? A little bit? Because, you know what, I see all these news clips about how unjust Muslims are. Don't you? All, just against the Muslims. No other faith. Just Muslims. No, not a word. Not a word. And it's a known thing. I mean, there was just a reporter wearing a gay pride t-shirt that was in a Muslim nation that was killed just in the last, I think, last day or so. Did you hear anything about it? Wonder why. When was the last time you heard a real Christian wanting to execute and kill somebody who did not agree with the scriptures? Because God says that you're to be kind to those that despitefully use you. Do you think God knows that we were going to be persecuted? Do you think God knew and knows that the world is not going to like that we believe that birth begins at conception? Before you were born, I knew thee. Isn't that what He said to Jeremiah? You say whatever you want, I will never believe that. Because it is a lie that's been hatched from hell. That is the devil's lie. And so is everything that perverts the truth of God's word. It's a lie. Do you think God knew that we were going to experience this? Except for during Christmas, right? When was the last time? Are you hearing anybody say Merry Christmas? Do you notice it's a whole lot less than last year? I mean, it probably wasn't good last year either. But I've not had one person. I remember as soon as Thanksgiving was done, everybody was Merry Christmasing. That is letting you know the indication of where the world stands concerning the Son of God. But wait a minute. God has still called us to be His witnesses, but with power. With His power. Remember, didn't He tell the disciples? Wait. and then you're going to be filled with the power, and then you'll be witnesses unto me. Power of the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8. Okay, last thought. Ready? God wants us to have a God-honoring faith or trust. So he wants to do that in our lives. So look at verse 24. Then Joseph being raised from sleep. You didn't know he had that long of a dream, did you? He was dreaming all this. God was instilling in his heart what he needed, that he might go and do the right thing. In fact, listen, that Joseph would go and do the will of God. Do we know what the will of... Does the church today know what the will of God is? Yeah. If we'll do this and we'll do that and we'll do this and we'll do that, boy, we can bring all kinds of people in. What is the will of God for your life? See, before you can shake the world upside down, we have to be following the Lord. Do you think God will allow us to be the light of the world when everybody else needs to be doing, and doesn't matter what I do, doesn't matter what I listen to, doesn't matter what I watch, doesn't matter what I read, doesn't matter if I, you know, after all, grace, after all, the biggest lie you ever want to hear, God loves me just the way I am, and it's okay for me to stay like this. God saved us to make you and I a royal priesthood. He said, be holy, for I'm holy. Our lives will have no power at all, and the focus is wrong if we're looking to other things to take place for an excuse of not having them done in my life. See, listen, let me just tell you, the answer is not a political one. It's not, I don't care who's president. Do you not see the moral decay of our society getting worse? It doesn't matter who the president is, unless God's people will turn from their sins and call upon him. No man is going to have the answer. We will continue to go downhill. Oh, we might have some things that will appease us. Oh, okay. That's nice. You did. This was a nice political move. Now inflation's not so bad. Boy, that's good. Now I can do more of what I want to do and forget more about God. It may be God is allowing this. In fact, he is, to get the attention of his people. Verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, listen to this, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Are we doing what God has bidden us in his word? See, God's given us clear instruction. But if we're not careful, we're just going through the routine and not allowing the work of God to take place. See, God did something. Listen, God did something in Joseph's life that enabled him and caused him to do the will of God. Did Joseph still need God's strength? Absolutely. But Joseph did not know until God gave him a personal revelation of what he wanted him to do. Paul would have continued praying for that thorn in the flesh to be removed unless God gave him an answer and let him know, no, Paul, this is the way we're going to do this. So it is good to bring everything before the Lord and say, God, I need you to answer and to show me what you would have me do concerning whatever it is in my life, that I might not be distracted and miss what you want me to do. Because we are good with coming up with our own plans. We do it every day. But more importantly, listen, it's important that we seek God. And lastly, notice this, verse 25. Let's put 24 and 25 together. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Did you see that? Can you tell me, did I miss it? Did the Lord tell him? Did you see words spoken that he was not supposed to know his wife? She was already conceived. But see, the Lord directed him, and God already told him, you don't even come into her until after Jesus is born. God does not want an ignorant people. Listen, I hope we don't find this out when we stand before the Lord. But Jesus said, God said, if you seek me, he didn't say you might find me. He said you will find me. And if you seek me, I won't might show you the way. I will show you the way. Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, he didn't say he wouldn't. He just asked, will he find faith? Will he find faith? The birth of the Lord took place. Amen? The redemption of man was provided. Was it not? We can say amen to that. But here's a real question. Has salvation and the Spirit of God to direct our lives to glorify God come into us? And there's only one reason why it doesn't glorify Him, is because we're not bringing it to Him. We ought to wrestle with it. I want you to know it's a wrestling match with the Lord because of our stubbornness and our inability to understand the spiritual things, to ask God, Lord, help me understand how your Spirit in me is going to glorify you. Lord, help me to understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit, that I don't walk in the flesh. The flesh is my way of thinking. See, listen, put this all aside, ready? Joseph, was he a merciful man before? Was he kind? Was he benevolent towards Mary before the Lord spoke to him? That was impressive. That would have been the kind thing to do if the Lord didn't give him any information, would it not? Question, was it the will of God? Oh, but it would have been kind. He would have been a noble man. Do you see what we miss? Oh, Lord, I'm just a good person. I'll just do this. Is it God's will? Because that's all that will matter when we stand before the Lord, will be whether or not we took what He gave us and invest it in Him for His honor and glory, that the light of God might shine through your life and mine. Because didn't He say, you're the light of the world? If His light is not shining through us, is it going to come from anywhere else? How important. How important in the light of eternity is the will of God in your life and mine. We believe that Jesus Christ was born into this world. Was it not to redeem mankind? To have eternal life? And while we're on this side of eternity, that God might have His will on earth as it is in heaven, through your life and mine, that you are the only one. You can think of all different kinds of things that we could do and maybe that we should do, but is God having His will in your life personally? Because if not, it doesn't matter what you do. You're not going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because you were preoccupied in other things instead of seeking what God wants from you specifically. God gives us individually and specifically instructions to honor and glorify Him, because we're all different. We're all different, and God has a plan for each and every one of us. And as we work together as a body, He's honored and glorified. So let's give God the opportunity and call upon Him and say, yes, Lord, your Son did come into the world and He changed my life and He is worthy of everything you've given to me. The invitation's the Lord's. The opportunity is ours. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we pray and ask that you would speak to our hearts, move in our hearts and minds, that we might call upon you. Lord, we can look around and see that we are in moral decay as a nation, as a society. We think so little of human life. People killing each other over the silliest of things. And yet they do that because they walk in darkness. But unless we're walking with you, Lord, there's no light. Oh, we may have eternal life, but there's no glory to your name as you would have it. Speak to us as your people that we might call on you and say, yes, Lord, there's a problem. It's not that you want us to do good things, it's that you have a specific will for us and our personal lives that we might walk in what you've called us into, that you might be honored and glorified, and that we might be given a faith that is built upon your revelations that solidify us and enable us to stand on the rock. Bless your people. Bless the invitation, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.